You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. NFL Draft. Tonight, it's in Detroit. Browns will pick tomorrow. This means it's time now that we bring in our good friend, Daryl Ryder.
He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
And don't forget Daryl's podcast right now. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland with yours truly. It's easy to get to. It's so simple. It's right there at 923thefan.com, and it's available on the Odyssey app. Daryl, have you settled into your home studio ready for tonight's NFL draft?
I won't even be watching. So I'm going to be watching the Cavs in Magic. The Browns don't have a pick.
Do you not have a remote control?
Yeah, I just don't care.
Okay.
The Browns don't have a pick.
You're going to care tomorrow?
I'll look at when the first round's over, I'll look at the rundown and see who did what. But yeah, I just don't care. Cavs Magic tonight. Game 3, big one.
With that in mind, we'll get back to the draft momentarily. Can the Cavs sweep these guys? Do you think that'll happen? I don't think it'll happen. I think the Magic will play better and win at least one of these games in Orlando.
Can they? Yes. Will they? No.
Okay. We're in agreement.
I think Orlando's going to find their shooting touch on their home floor. They've not shot the ball well in these first two games. Frankly, the Cavs at times haven't shot all that well, especially from the perimeter. But, yeah, I think that tonight is a dangerous game for the Cavaliers. If they win tonight and go up 3-0, then yeah, I do think that there's a really good shot they could go ahead and take care of this thing by the end of the weekend. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Orlando's going to win at least one of these games on their home floor, if not both of them. We see all the time 2-0 leads in playoff series vanish in the blink of an eye and return home tied 2-2, and I do worry that that is a possibility here in this series.
So you think they'll magically just figure out a way to shoot and the Cavaliers, everything they've been doing right, isn't going to happen over the next two games? Just curious?
Well, the Magic have had some wide-open looks from three that they've just flat-out missed. The Magic's poor three-point shooting is not simply a byproduct of the Cavalier defense. They've had a lot of open looks that, quite frankly, they've just missed. And with their crowd behind them on their home floor in their own building, yeah, I do think it's possible that they could find their shooting touch.
You think the Cavs win the series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. But I don't think it's going to be a sweep, though. I said at the beginning of the series, Cavs in six. And just for the sake of consistency, I'm going to say Cavs in six.
You and I are in a complete agreement on that.
Yeah, I think they're going to sweep, Daryl. I'm just telling you. We'll talk about it on the podcast.
Hey, I hope you're right. The faster the Cavaliers do away with these guys, the sooner they can rest up and get ready for the bloodbath they're going to have to deal with in round two, either with Miami or Boston.
Yep, I hate to agree with you. You're right. But let's let Miami and Boston keep playing. Let them play seven games.
Let those guys play seven, and you're sitting at home, and Donovan Mitchell continues to get more time to rest his knee. Dean Wade, who has been ruled out for this series, maybe he can come back for round two. And, you know, Caris LeVert's playing through bumps and bruises. Darius Garland, dealing with a back issue that popped up in game one. So, yeah, I mean, the sooner the Cavs can handle their business and be done with the Magic, the better it's going to be for them and give them an opportunity to, like I said, rest up, get as healthy as possible, because they are absolutely going to have their hands full in round two, whether it's the Heat, whether it's the Magic.
In watching the first,
the, uh, the Celtics.
Yeah. In watching the first two games of this series, Daryl, I would love to get excited about the Cavs, but the Magic have been so bad that well, you know what I mean, though?
Well, now you know why I'm worried.
Yeah,
because,
I would
Orlando
love...
has not played particularly well.
No.
Like I said, this is the dangerous game tonight. If the Cavaliers can win this game tonight, Jeff, they're in great shape. But
just say it. Andy's right. I want to hear you say it. Say
no,
if they,
I'm not
if they
say
win
you're
tonight.
Right.
Yeah, you could say it.
No, they're gonna. If they win tonight, they win in five.
I would agree with that. I think the Magic win a game. I think the Magic win tonight, if you want to know the truth.
I have a clause in my contract that says I can never say that Andy's right about anything.
That's true. And you can find that on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, available on the Odyssey app.
Nice. And YouTube.
Yes. Oh, and YouTube.
That's right. And YouTube. Yeah, there you go, guys.
All right, Daryl, let's switch over to the NFL draft here for a second. There are no headlines that are intriguing to you during this first round.
That involve the Cleveland Browns?
No, I'm just talking about NFL. There's got to be some headlines that are intriguing to you.
Well, what does interest me is the fact that I feel like this is going to be a draft where teams are desperate and reaching for quarterbacks. There's no reason six quarterbacks should be drafted in the first round. This class ain't that good. So,
but there will be, don't you think?
No, it won't. No. Because
no,
the NFL doesn't develop quarterbacks.
Don't you think six quarterbacks will go in the first round?
I do, and I think it's a mistake that six quarterbacks are going to go in the first round.
Agreed.
Because they don't develop in college, and they aren't developing in the NFL all that much these days. And I think that this is a byproduct of desperation. Thankfully, the Browns are not in that spot, at least this year. They might be next year. We'll see. But I don't think six quarterbacks should be drafted in this particular first round. But they're going to be, and I guess there's some good news there because that maybe means an extra player or two gets pushed down the chart down into the second round, and maybe the Browns find themselves in a situation like they did a couple of years ago back in 2021 where they had a first-round grade on Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and he fell to them in the second round, 52nd overall. So maybe one of those situations materializes tomorrow night for the Browns, but that remains to be seen. One thing I do expect to see a lot of tonight, besides a lot of hot air commentary and commercial breaks, trades. I think there's going to be a lot of trades in this first round, too.
How many? The record's 9.
Yeah, I think there's a chance it could approach the record.
Wow.
I'm going to say 8. I'll just go 8. I don't know if we'll get to 9 or 10, but I think at least 8 trades in the first round.
How many before the commissioner hits the podium? Like Jeff and I were saying, I was like, Jeff, we're going to have to.
And does anybody make a trade here today?
Someone's going to make a trade for us before 2 o'clock so we can talk about it.
Yeah, well,
it's all about us. We don't care about anybody else.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know about before the commissioner takes the podium, but I do think that there's going to be movement. I'm laughing at these reports concerning the Patriots, though. I think it was Deanna Russini from The Athletic that reported that the Patriots might be looking to maneuver with the 3rd overall pick, while also at the same time trying to acquire one of these top quarterbacks. And I'm like, don't get cute. Just stay at 3 and take your quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, don't slide back 1, 2, or 3 spots just so you can pick up an extra pick or two. Risk losing the guy that you want. Only, like, just stay at 3 and pick your quarterback. That's what you want to do. That's fine. But stay at 3, pick your quarterback. It reminds me, like, this is stuff the Browns used to do. And it's why they could never get out of 4-12 and 5-11 hell. Because they always got cute in the draft. So my advice to Elliott Wolf and the New England Patriots, stay at 3 and pick the player you want, which looking like it is one of those 6 quarterbacks.
Yeah, but we want them to trade out because then maybe they'll pick another quarterback wherever they land in the first round. Whoever comes up to 3 is going to take a quarterback. And again, when you look at it from the Browns' perspective, Daryl,
It doesn't help to stop, Andy. That doesn't help the Browns at all. Just stop.
Why?
Six quarterbacks going in the first round. Who cares what the order is?
And maybe you get more than six. Maybe you get a – just keep picking quarterbacks before the Browns step up to the podium.
If there are seven quarterbacks drafted, some GMs should be fired tomorrow. Like, that would be absurd. Again, I don't think that this quarterback class is that strong where – six guys are worthy of first-round picks. But ultimately what it comes down to, the reason is simply that fifth year of control for the quarterback. That's what it comes down to. But I still disagree. I don't think this class is that great.
Daryl, I think this is interesting. I don't know if it means anything. Tell me if it does. Of the six quarterbacks that we think will go in the first round, only two of them played at one college, May and McCarthy. The other guys all transferred. Does that mean anything in this day and age?
Well, I asked Andrew Berry about that last week, and he said that back in the day, which was like 2 to 3 years ago, guys transferring were red flags, right? But because of this, the portal and NIL and all that stuff, it doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
It's commonplace. Then so I asked him about the development of players because I don't think players are developing as well in college anymore because of this environment of transferring schools. Berry disagreed with me there too. He said, "Hey, when guys are transferring, they're trading up per se. They're going to situations that fit them, better situations, and things like that." And that's all well and good, but something tells me, Jeff, in the next 4 to 5 years, we're going to find out that the quality of players in the draft just aren't as good. The talent's going to be there. The raw athletic talent's going to be there. But I'm just not convinced the polished product is going to be there, if that makes sense. And I think it's going to be because of this portal and the bouncing around and hurting, the development of guys. Because I am a believer that stability helps with development. And I'm not saying that I'm against the portal and the transferring and NIL because, these colleges are making billions of dollars off of these kids, these quote-unquote student athletes, also known as professional football players wearing college uniforms. These kids should get every dollar they can get. Because there's only so many times these universities can renovate the locker rooms for them. So I'm all in favor of these kids getting paid when they can get paid, considering the physical toll this takes on their bodies. We see college players when they're done playing football, and they don't even go to the NFL, that are dealing with long-term health effects of, playing the sport. So, but I do feel like that the developmental portion of things ultimately is going to suffer with these guys that, bounce around because they're looking for the best financial situation or the best playing time situation.
All right, Daryl, I have several Browns questions to ask you. One, and I want your opinion. You tell me if they're going to say it. Will they stay at 54?
It's Andrew Berry, so I'm going to say no.
You'll say no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say they trade up or down. I don't know which way they go, but I will say they don't stay at 54 because Andrew Berry just loves making phone calls during the draft.
They will or will not use both of their seventh-round picks?
They better not. So I'm going to say no. They will not use either seventh-round pick.
Ooh, like that.
Wow.
Oh, what? Me too. Like cardinal sin, trading for and using seventh-round picks. So I say he does not use either pick. He packages them.
When it is said and done, the Browns will have drafted more offense or defensive players when this draft is over?
I'm going to say defense.
And what position will the Browns target with that first pick?
Well, I know what I would target with the 54th pick. Everyone keeps saying wide receiver, and I don't like that.
Why are you anti-wide receiver?
Because I think that they just have other needs right now.
Okay.
You have three guys up top, and I'm going to put Njoku in the mix. So now you've got four targets, and you throw Jerome Ford in the running back. Now that's five targets already that you have for Deshaun Watson, right? you have plenty of guys to throw footballs to. You need depth at defensive tackle. You've got a lot of guys on short-term contracts there. You need some depth there. And what did Andrew Berry tell us last week about this draft? He wants to use these. A lot of these picks are going to be not necessarily for the 2024 Browns, but future teams, right? Well,
right.
Opportunity, build some, you know, this is a depth draft for them. Build depth into the roster with a couple of guys that will actually make the team, and then the rest of them will be on the practice squad. Mm. So defensive tackle's got to be a priority to me. I think linebacker's got to be a priority for me. Interior offensive line is got to be a priority to me because Wyatt Teller's expensive. We'll see how he fits in whatever thing that they're doing with the offensive line here now. Joel Bitonio is going into his 11th season, and as great as Bitonio is, you do have to plan for the day that comes when he's not going to be here. So mm-hmm. I'd like to see them draft a guard in this this weekend here. Corner, but Greg Newsom, do they trade him? Do they pick up the fifth-year option? Do they extend his contract? Whatever. Decision needs to be made there, so they may have to draft a corner in this draft. But like, there's like four or five positions that come to my mind instantaneously before I even think about the wide receiver position.
Okay,
and then let's throw last year's pick Cedric Tillman in the mix. Now that's five targets, right?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So like,
no.
I just don't view wide receiver as the four alarm fire that a lot of the experts right now are viewing it for the Browns. They have Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, their running backs room, Cedric Tillman going into his sophomore year. Hopefully this year he actually knows the playbook and where he's supposed to be and all that stuff. But, like, yeah, I mean, I just don't feel like wide receiver is, it's this big, massive emergency right now.
Speaking of wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. will be the first non-quarterback drafted in tonight's draft? Yes or no?
What is this, Quiz Daryl?
Yeah, well, this is Daryl Rapid Fire.
Nice.
He should be the first in my view, he should be the first non-quarterback taken in the draft. Will he? I think that's a little tough for me to predict, but he should be.
All right, and along those Buckeye lines, my last question for you, will the Browns continue, as Andrew Berry has done a nice job of drafting Ohio State Buckeyes lately, will he draft an Ohio State Buckeye?
Yes.
Cade Stover? Who do you think it's going to be?
Mike
Hall, Cade Stover.
If it's Cade Stover, I'm fine with that, but I do think that one of the picks will be a Buckeye.
You think he'll take a Buckeye? Tommy Eichenberg would be nice to bring him home too, wouldn't it? They need a linebacker, right? Why wouldn't we want to do that?
You need linebackers.
All right, so we're good. So I you've made my day. We've disagreed a little bit, but the fact that you think the Browns will draft a Buckeye, you've saved yourself. And now you make me want to listen to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Daryl, you're a good man.
Enjoy the draft and playoff doubleheader tonight.
Daryl, thank you. And we'll know that you're not watching the draft, so I'll text you throughout the draft just to drive you crazy.
I will be watching on X. I will be watching the Cavalier game on my television. I'll be watching the draft on X because, again, the Browns don't have a pick.
Next year,
they have eight of them, and I will definitely be watching the first round.
Daryl, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Have a great night.
And don't forget, Daryl, you can catch him and me on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast. It's available at 923thefan.com right now, or you can get it on the Odyssey app. Time now for a 2020.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
NFL draft tonight, Detroit Motor City. Man, I'd be pumped. I wonder how many Browns fans would have gone up tonight if the Browns had a first-round pick. What do you think? I wouldn't have mind going to Detroit for the draft if I knew the Browns had a pick. I'd go.
Sure.
I like that. You know, I thought we did a great job here, considering all things considered that were going on in our country at that point.
In the world.
Yeah. And, you know, the first night was a rainy night, too. I remember walking around with the kids, and we were checking everything out. It was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I think the folks in Detroit. Do you know anybody going? You guys know anybody going?
I mean, I have family in Detroit, so I have people. There's some of my family members are going to.
Yeah, but somebody from Cleveland. Like, I don't know. I mean, and if you're a hardcore Browns fan, you're not going to Detroit tonight to go watch the draft. No.
Not tonight. Maybe tomorrow. I mean, it's only a 3-hour drive, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, maybe you would go. Is there anybody going tomorrow? 216-474-0092. I'm just curious. I don't know. Like, I don't. You would think it's so close, right?
Let's see. Detroit, my couch. Detroit, my couch.
I'm going to Detroit, man. I've smelled that couch before. Plus, don't you have a cat?
I have a nice couch.
Yeah. Do you have a cat, though? Don't you guys have a cat?
Two.
Oh, there's no way.
And a dog.
With my allergies, not even close. Not even close. What do you want the Browns to do? We'll talk about that, some of the needs here. Daryl Ryder again joining us. I want to take a phone call real quick. Joe's been hanging on the line for a little while. Joe in Shaker Heights. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Baskin, I'm like you. I think we need some help on defense, but I don't know any names out of Tommy Eichenberg. I mean, we got whomped 45 to whatever. Gruesome Newsome had a bad day. I don't think we can get much with him. He doesn't want to be here. But other than that, I want to give a message to Barry. Do not draft Marshawn Lloyd. I know we're going to draft a running back. That room is not right. I mean, Chubb is Chubb, and I don't think he's going to be himself. And this Marshawn Lloyd is going to get picked by somebody, maybe Minnesota, but he drops the ball a lot, and we don't need that anymore. But I would take, if he's still available, the receiver, Ladd McConkey. I saw him in a combine. He looks great.
From Georgia?
He's fast. He runs great patterns. He's got a head on his shoulder, and he doesn't drop the ball. But I think Kansas City or Green Bay may take him. But I love that guy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Joe Jigger. It's Jeff. I'm not convinced the Browns are taking a running back. Are you?
A running back? I don't think they will.
I mean, he thought they would take a running back. I mean, look, if
maybe late. I think they have, as we talked with Tom Withers about, let's forget Nick Chubb here, okay? I'm not even factoring Nick into the equation for next year. If he comes back and is able to play, that's fabulous.
Right.
And I would love it. I sure hope that happens. They like Jerome Ford. They signed Deontay Foreman.
Yeah.
Who, again, I think Deontay's so much better than what people think he is. I like him a lot. I always have.
Okay.
Pierre Strong, and they sign Nyheim Hines. They have four guys that I think they're pretty content with, if you want to know the truth. So though they could draft a running back late in the draft, it would be one of these things. You know what? We have a really high grade on that guy, and we really like him. Let's bring in more talent. They're not pinpointing running back in this draft. Doesn't mean they won't draft one.
I've started looking for some, like, deep, deep mock drafts. And so I ran across NFL.com, and I was just checking that out. Chad Ryder has his draft analysis. And, I mean, you can go to round two. Again, it depends on if the Browns stay there. Edgar and Cooper linebacker out of Texas A&M. Linebacker. I'm okay with that. I just think kind of common sense says take a linebacker with your first pick. For me, it is. I know a lot of people want to see a wide receiver. I'm not going to be disappointed if they pick somebody on defense. Not at all.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
I would love to see a wide receiver there. I think somebody good is going to drop. If not, I'd like to see a defensive tackle there. And somebody good is going to be on the board. And if they don't take a wide receiver or a defensive tackle and they take somebody else, fine. I'm not going to get the least bit fired up about anything they draft in the second round. Why? I'm going to trust Andrew Berry on this one. You don't have a first-round pick. You don't have a roster that's full of needs. You just don't. And you could draft just about anything, and I'll buy it.
You wanna, other than quarterback? Is that what you're saying?
You want to if some quarterback...
Because if they draft a quarterback, people are all going to be like, they're not, making a statement about Deshaun Watson.
And that one's just not happening. And the reason I say that is this. You're not going to get a quarterback in the second round who's going to make you think anything that this guy could be your quarterback in the future. Doesn't mean, you know, a late round pick couldn't become that for somebody. We see it all the time. But they're just not going to do that. You know, they have plenty there. So that, to me, that's just not even in the realm of possibility.
Looking ahead of that NFL mock draft, they even go into the third round of the 85 pick, offensive tackle out of Yale, Amagaji. Yeah, Karen Amagaji. Do you know anything about him? I didn't see a whole lot of Yale football this year, so I'm going to have to defer to you on this.
From some of the reports that I was seeing, too, he's more of a developmental guy, so he would sit behind Jedrick, but he would be a left tackle of the future.
It seems late, though, in the draft for your left tackle of the future, don't you think?
Well, this class actually is pretty deep when it comes to offensive tackle. The other ones that I've seen connected with the Browns, at least, is offensive tackle Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. He's another one that gets brought up. Kingsley Suamatia from BYU. He's an offensive tackle that has a lot of really good tools, but he's somebody that's going to need a year to learn and sit behind. So, again, it fits the Browns with where they're at with Jedrick Wills.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, the offensive tackle class and the offensive line class in general, I believe the over-under for tonight on FanDuel is about 10.5 offensive linemen going in round one alone, and yet there's still a lot of really talented guys that still are going to be going. So I do think that there's a chance that you could see them jump in on that position as well. But, again, kind of looking forward with what Andrew Berry had said, those different draft picks, they're looking more long-term necessarily than needing that immediate impact than we've been used to in the past.
Man, it just goes to show that you dropped that line about how many the over-under on tackles, right? Like, I can't I know gambling's a part of our culture right now. I get it all. But it just seems odd when we start talking about things like that. Like, I can understand betting on a team to win or how many points somebody might have or over-under and stuff like that. But I just, like, the thought of somebody making and more power to you if that's what you want to do. But I just – the thought – and the fact that you even just dropped a reference about, we're going to see 10.5 we're going to see 10.5 offensive tackles. That half offense tackle guy, I watched him play.
He doesn't block real well.
Sometimes I liked watching him play. Sometimes I didn't like watching him play.
That's why he's between the first and the second round at that point. That's why he's the half.
I don't know. Just keep looking through the rest of this mock draft on NFL.com at pick 156. They've got the Browns taking Beanie Bishop Jr.
At pick 156.
Cornerback out of West Virginia.
Stop.
No, I mean, there are folks that want to hear this stuff, Jeff. That's round five. You want me to get into the sixth and seventh rounders? I'm happy to do that for you too. People want to know what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
I'm good.
CJ Hansen out of Holy Cross, which is where? Worcester.
Let me write that down.
Isn't that Worcester, Mass?
Let me write that down.
That's another offensive guard, a kid who's a senior. Pick 206 for the Browns. I mean, this is all very, very interesting things because when these things come to fruition, you'll be excited. Now, the two picks that will drive Daryl Ryder crazy will be if they take guys in the seventh round. And Chad Reuter from NFL.com was there for you. He's got your back. Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. There's your tight end. That's a 227. And then I'll give you the last pick that he's got for the Browns. Keith Randolph Jr., Illinois, defensive tackle, 243. Don't you feel better, Jeff? You know who the Browns are going to take at 243 now. You're not going to play along?
Oh, I'm playing, Andy.
Thanks, Jeff. That's why I love you.
Tanner McLaughlin is a pretty good athletic tight end.
No, we've seen him, too. So, I get that. I understand that. Okay. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. NFL Draft, round one tonight. Questions about that. Cavaliers, game three against Orlando. Questions about that. We'll talk to Sam Amico coming up in a bit here, right on 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Guardians afternoon matinee as they take on the Boston Red Sox at 1:10. Leading off, left fielder Stephen Kwan, followed by center fielder Tyler Freeman. Batting third, DHing today, is going to be Jose Ramirez. Batting cleanup is going to be first baseman Josh Naylor. Batting fifth, catching, is going to be David Fry. Batting sixth, Andres Jimenez, playing second base. Then in right field, Will Brennan, followed by third baseman Gabriel Arias. And rounding things out, Brian Arocchio, playing shortstop today. And on the mound for the Guardians is going to be Tristan McKenzie. That is your starting lineup.
That's if you're keeping score at home. Jeff Phelps is. I know that for a fact.
Of course.
I'm Andy Baskin. He's got all these number two. He's got pencils without erasers on them. That's how confident Jeff is when he scores a game. You use the little golf pencils, don't you?
Sure. Well, I'm not going to make any mistakes.
Never do. And you'll make the call right the first time.
Score baseball, boom.
No one's calling up from the dugout to question Jeff Phelps's official scoring.
No.
Tristan McKenzie on the hill today for the Guardians. Thoughts on that, especially after where we are after last week's news from the Athletic.
Guys sometimes heal up without the surgery, Andy. I hope he's one of them. He's at an age, he's in his upper 20s now. All right? It's not like he's a 23-year-old kid anymore. And my fingers are crossed because otherwise, if something goes wrong here and they decide, okay, you've got to have the surgery, that means he will have pitched only four games last season, a minimal number of games this season, and be out next season. And that's not good. So I'm very hopeful that he's able to heal up without the surgery.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's likely or not. Not a doctor.
The part of it for me, though, is every time I watch him go out on the hill, I'm watching to make sure that he stays, stays whole. Like, I'm worried that every time he goes out there that this injury is going to just explode on him and he's going to have even bigger problems. It's all based on an article.
That's the fear, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you've got a big weekend series coming up against Atlanta. That'll start tomorrow, 7:20. First pitch, that'll be Allen against Sale, and the second game will be Bybee against Morton. Third game, Lively against Elder. And, isn't that the way you can kind of look at things to say, okay, I've been sitting back, I've been watching this team play, really excited about the way they're playing, 17-7. I don't care if they lost yesterday, 8-0. It's one game against Boston. The real goal is to come back and win today at 1:10 and win the series. Doesn't matter how many runs you win by. So come back and win the series. Are you intrigued by this weekend series, though, at Atlanta, where you know you're going to be playing the best team, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball?
Yes, and for this reason only. Kind of a little chance to measure up against a team that you know is really good. I've never been one of those folks who says, okay, well, they played Oakland, you know, a bunch. All right, well, Oakland was on the schedule. They're on everybody's schedule.
No, I get it, but I do think that when you're playing a team that you know is 500 or lower and you're just smoking them and taking series left and right from them, sweeping series against them as well, that you kind of look at it a little bit sideways. It's not the same. If they sweep Atlanta,
I'll be honest, I don't. But I am looking at the Atlanta series to see how they stack up. I think it's a better indication of what kind of team you might have. And then again, you could go and get swept and not be a very good team and think, okay, well, then they don't have it. Well, maybe they do. Maybe they still do. Baseball is such a strange game, and you play so many games. What if they went to Atlanta and swept the Braves? Does that mean they're on their way to the playoffs? No, it doesn't.
But you should feel good about yourself, I would say that.
But I'm curious to see how they match up, and I want to see how they respond because that's a good situation. You know, Atlanta's a really good team. And then they go to Houston after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a double whammy back to back
in Houston. Yeah, that's the other hard part about it. There are years, though, you go back and look at it at the end of the season, and you're like, okay, they made it to the first round of the playoffs. And then you can see that the bulk of their victories are against the AL Central. And you're like, okay, I can see how they got there this way. Or there have been years before where interleague play has bolstered them into the playoffs as well. And, you know,
bolster,
I guess.
Bolster is a good word.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I've had a couple of good words the last couple of days, haven't I?
You have.
Yeah, can we get you a glove? Maybe we can play in the outfield.
Must have bought a thesaurus.
I didn't. I didn't. I just read the dictionary every day.
Huh.
I've never looked up thesaurus in the dictionary, though. Is there a word for that?
Yeah, thesaurus.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092 if you haven't driven off the road yet from this conversation. So the Guardians get back at it. Again, not really too worried about last night. Still really excited, and then they've got some challenging games ahead of them, and I think we're all kind of looking forward to seeing how they play. I just want them to win the series today. I want Tristan McKenzie to be able to walk through today's game healthy and make me not think twice about every time he goes out there. You go out there, you get a win today, you win the series, that's what it's all about. Then you have Atlanta, then you're at Houston, and you're back home again next weekend against the Angels, and the Tigers will come in after that to start off early on in the month of May. I want to go back to basketball with you here, Jeff, for a moment as we get set for Sam Amico, who's going to join us at 1 o'clock. And the Cavaliers tonight will take their 2-0 lead to Orlando. It's interesting to listen to people. We haven't heard from a lot of folks today just about how they feel about this game. I'm in this situation where I feel like I love the way they played the last two games. I thought it was interesting to hear Tom Withers tell us before that he's like, yeah, well, there's some problems there, and there's some things that need to be worked on, and it hasn't been perfect from the Cavaliers' side. Maybe I've just been wearing rose-colored glasses on this thing because I thought the Cavaliers have been playing well. And, you know, other than the third quarter where things got, I don't know, it just kind of got muddy, you know?
Orlando's been really bad, Andy. I mean, that's
– Why do I not want to see that? Why do I only want to see the Cavs are playing great?
Well, because you like the Cavs. Orlando's shooting has been atrocious. Just atrocious. And before anybody screams, well, it's the Cavs defense. No, it's not. It's a contributing factor, but Orlando has been atrocious shooting the basketball. They're not that bad. Even if the Cavs defense is good, they're not that bad. They will get better. If they don't get better, I'll be stunned. I think they win a game in Orlando. I don't think they'll win two, Andy. I was surprised
when Daryl brought that up when we were talking to him about it.
Daryl thought they might win too. He said Orlando in six. That's what I said at the beginning of the series. I will say, after watching the first two games, Orlando has played so poorly. If you would allow me to adjust, I would probably say five. But that's what I said before, five or six. And I just don't think the Cavs sweep. I think Orlando gets at least one.
I want to be able to watch our big guys play the way that they've been playing in the first two games. I want more of that.
You know what's weird, though? And I mentioned this to Tom Withers. They're averaging 16.5, Evan, and 16, Jarrett, points.
Right.
Right about where they were in the regular season. It just looks different, doesn't it?
I don't. Maybe just because they've been able to grab so many rebounds. Allen, you know, 18 rebounds in one game, 20 rebounds in the other game. Mobley, double figure rebounds in the first game of the series. I'm looking at these rebounds they're getting, and maybe it's just because there's the opportunity to have so many rebounds because Orlando is shooting so poorly. Maybe that's the reason why they're standing out in being able to get the ball back in transition and then move the ball back down the floor. I don't know. I like watching this, and I'm having a hard time not seeing positives in things that the Cavaliers. Yes, I see.
Well, the Cavs have done a lot of positive things, but you can't ignore the fact that Orlando has played very poorly.
I want to go back to 18 out of 20 when they won 18 out of 20. Then
17 of 18. Sounds even better.
I don't like the way you say that. I like the way I say it better. 18 out of 20. Or say 18 and 2. Does that sound better?
They won 8 straight and 9 straight with a loss in between. That's 17 of 18.
Looking at what they were able to do there gave me high hopes for the entire season. You're sitting here. I've never seen anyone laugh at their own math.
I'm not laughing.
You're laughing at your own math.
Just sitting here.
That we had that run, and you were like, I wonder what are they going to battle Boston to be the top team in the East? And then we saw what happened after that, that, you know, despite the fact that they could win with injury, they just couldn't be that team the second half of the season. Injuries put them in that position. There are a number of reasons why they weren't able to duplicate, but I don't think anybody thought they were going to duplicate what they did in that 20-game stretch. I didn't. Did you? If you thought they could duplicate what they did during that 20-game stretch, I give you all the credit in the world because I didn't see it. I knew that they would come back to reality. My question for the second half of the season
was, I didn't think
are they going to be the 2 seed? Like, I kept thinking, okay, can they be the 2 seed because Boston has just blown by everybody and they consistently won night after night to be able to be the top seed in the East, yet you watch them play Miami last night and then you wonder, wow, wait a minute, wait. Maybe the gap between the 8th seed and the 1 seed isn't as great as we think it is. Or as you said earlier, Jeff, that maybe perhaps 1 and 2 and 7 and 8 are scarier than those teams that are in the middle.
I think that's absolutely true. I do. I wouldn't want to play Philly, even with Embiid limping up and down the court like crazy. And I don't want to play Miami.
So here we sit. They're up 2 games to none. I wonder how many people are closer to what you're thinking compared to what I'm thinking. 216-474-0092. I have complete confidence in this team, especially if they come out and win that first quarter tonight and they can, you know, get a little bit of distance in them against Orlando in the first quarter. I think they will remind Orlando that they're just not shooting the ball. We talk about basketball being a game of streaks and the mental part of the game. I just think sometimes when you can't hit, you can't hit. And I'm listening to, like, people go, oh, I think Orlando's coming back. They're going to do this. I mean, they've got to fight their way back, and maybe being at home is the recipe that they need to be able to do it. But I think if they come out cold again or the Cavs come out hot again, it's going to trickle right back into their minds that they're like, you know what, we shot like garbage the first 2 games of the series, and we're continuing. I wonder if we're ever going to be able to get out of this. I know that's just kind of the way I see the series. I wonder how Sam Amico does. We will talk to Sam next right here. 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.